That was a beautiful prayer, Christy, and it just is almost everything is in there in that prayer. And we'll touch on a few of those things this morning, because it really is all about the kingdom. His is the kingdom, and that we are allowed to belong to that kingdom. And you have seen on your, let me just say another prayer, even though it has everything in there. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you this morning. We thank you that you want us in your kingdom, that we can be part of this kingdom. We thank you for the instructions you have given to be happy and live in your kingdom. And Lord, we ask you now that you would take over this morning, guide it as you want it to be. Let me not say anything I shouldn't say, and bring us together closer to each other and closer to you to live out that kingdom in this dark world that we live in, that it can radiate out to the many who do not know you. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Amen. Last night we talked about the roots that need to grow into him. You remember what they were?
Yeah, trust.
Good, trust. Yeah, that's really, that was my biggest one too.
Delighting in God's word.
Delighting in God's word.
Righteousness.
Grace. Trust.
Patience.
Patience. All of those things.
Focus heavenly.
Yes. And that will do tonight even more. And Sister Daniela will start preparing us for that later this morning. But, you know, who of you has a garden where everything is just grows the good things and you never have to worry? Anybody has a garden like that where you don't have to do any work and no weeds at all? And so that is in our spiritual gardens too, in our hearts. There we press down those good roots into him, but then sometimes we have to work a little bit on the roots that shouldn't be there, or the plants that shouldn't be there. And the quicker we work on them, when they're small, it's easier, they're easier to get out. And when we let them become a big tree, then, you know, and isn't it amazing that the good plants often come out so easily, and the weeds, they're hard to get out. Even when they're small, sometimes the roots are like, and you have to, if you try to get them out when the ground is dry, I don't know if it's ever dry here in Texas, but in Arizona, it's just about impossible, you know, because the ground is so hard, you can't dig, so you can only take off a little bit, and then the root is still down there. And so today we're going to talk about the roots that need to come out, or the plants that need to come out. And I will concentrate on one particular one. And I wonder if you know which one that is. It's mentioned in the Bible.
Rebellion?
Unforgiveness, yes.
Bitterness.
Bitterness. We're going to go with unforgiveness and bitterness. And it sounds terrible. It sounds so ugly, and it is ugly. But I think that it's there's hardly any person who doesn't struggle with something. Maybe it's not as ugly as bitterness, but hurt, or, you know, something you have, a little something in your heart against somebody. All of us have that. It's nobody's really, or I haven't heard about many anyway, who have not had ever a struggle with anything like that. I think as soon as you have two people live together, there comes some friction at some point. And so the scripture is taken from Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of
bitterness.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, the speakers went out.
Well, what shall we do then?
Just the light on?
No, there's no light. Batteries up.
Yeah.
If there's no light on this end, it's the battery's dead. Do we have there's no microphone?
Yeah.
There's no battery. There was a button to press. But it worked before.
Is it working?
No.
It's
not.
No. Is it working?
Yes.
Just the button.
Just the button. Well, I guess, you know, there's somebody who doesn't like us to hear about forgiving.
Gee whiz, who could that be?
Any root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's not only for us, it has its effects on our surroundings. And I like to read another one because it is from New Jerusalem Bible. It's from Romans 14:13. Let us each stop passing judgment, therefore, on one another and decide instead that none of us will place obstacles in any brother's way or anything that can bring him down. And I like that translation. It has nothing to do with roots, but it still has the same the bitterness, you know, because that's what the bitterness or unforgiveness or hurt or all these things do. They place an obstacle.
Could you reread the verse, please?
Romans 14:13. Let us each stop passing judgment, therefore, on one another and decide instead that none of us... No, it went out again, right?
It's flashing. It must be
low battery, yeah.
And I can't get a hold of anybody
customers. Or sister's way. Or anything that can bring him down.
What translation was that?
That's New Jerusalem Bible. You know, you can get so many variations when you look up different translations. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how I got on this one, because this is not usually the Bible I read, but... Does it work?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go away from the decorations again. First, I want to read to you something nice before we go into more of that. And this is from Hannah Herner, and I read that before, but I don't think you all remember, so I'll read it to you again. First of all, this is the Lord speaking. First of all, child, you must understand that in the kingdom of heaven, no one majors on faults and failures of other people or the irritating or wrong things that they do. We speak of things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, about special virtues and things which deserve praise. These are the things to think about. So begin with this rule. Don't feed yourself a constant diet of thoughts about the things that you don't like or don't agree with, or of which you disapprove, or which cause you to feel irritation, anger, resentfulness, jealousy, or any other unlovely things. It's a long text, but I just have a couple of paragraphs. So later in the text it says, you have already discovered that complaining about the things you don't like only fixes them still more deeply in your consciousness. And isn't that true? That is really, we're feeding ourselves the diet of complaining.
Say that again, please.
Which part? You have already discovered that complaining about the things you don't like only fixes them still more deeply in your consciousness, so that the offending persons, even after you pray about their faults, only irritate you all the more each time you meet them, and so the situation gets worse and worse.
Is that like an amplified version of Romans 14:13?
This is from Hannah Vernard. It's walking among the living or something like that.
It's not the Christian secret of a happy life?
No. This is walking among the living, I think it was called. This is in the introduction. I haven't read the whole book, but I thought that this was really good. It's about, you know, living in the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom. And it could be that the Amplified has something similar, but this was not the Bible. This was what she wrote. I like to write that down when I find, sometimes when I'm working on a theme, some key sentences to that theme, because I think they speak a lot. And so I got a couple for you here about negative attitudes. A grudge is one thing that does not get better when it is nursed. Did you get that?
No.
A grudge is one thing that does not get better when it is nursed. You know, it just gets more ingrained, and it gets, it's like that root goes deeper and deeper, and soon it even starts showing up in your face. Here is another one that I thought was good. On an offense against your neighbor is a fence between you and God. Yes?
Is it Walking Among the Unseen by Hannah Herman?
That's it. Walking Among the Unseen, yeah. This is not from there, though. But the quote that I read before is from there. An offense against your neighbor is a fence between you and God. We don't want any of those fences between us and God. And you know, that's what we just sang in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. That's a precondition. Otherwise, the fence goes up. We are putting it up ourselves. Okay, here's another one. Whenever you hold resentment against another, it is like poison you administer to yourself. And you know, we can be very mad at somebody or very hurt by somebody, and we just keep thinking about it or nursing it. And it really is, we can't, if we want to give back or, you know, do something for the other one, they might not even know that we how we feel. They're not affected by it, but we are. It's just like poison. We're poisoning ourselves. Yes.
Once heard about...
Can you hear her or stand up, please?
Part of this is about forgiving. Refusal to forgive. Thank you, sister. Heard this. Refusal to forgive is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
that would be another good one. I should write that down.
Could you say it again?
Refusal to forgive is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
It's just like Satan. Just like Satan. To come up with something.
You know, we don't think of it that way because we are so hurt and we have a right to be. Feel bad about it or hurt or shut up or whatever, you know, everybody, some explode and other just close up. But, you know, it is drinking poison and hoping it will hurt the other person who might not be affected at all, doesn't even realize what we're going through. This is a little similar. He who cannot forgive others burns the bridge over which he himself must pass.
Yes.
That's similar, and we don't want to cut off that bridge. You know, one year I went through Proverbs and I wrote out a whole list of... This is how long it got to be, you know? No, It's even longer. It's 2 pages now. This is an old version. Everything about our words, how they can be life-giving, and how it's like there's several of those things with a nagging wife, you know?
Drip, drip, drip.
Drip, drip, drip. Our words are, they can do a lot of good and they can do a lot of bad. What you say about others says more about you than it says about them. In one of the children's homes in Arizona from Auntie Vera, so took in a Christian lady who took in a lot of difficult children that nobody, no foster care families could handle. They had in their dining room a saying that was that said, "Be careful with your words today. Tomorrow you may have to eat them." Now, in preparing for this, you know, there's so much material, but I read from a devotional from Rick Renner, and there was something that really, really spoke to me, because I thought I never heard this before, and this really made so much sense. So I'd like to share that with you, and to begin, we'll read Luke 17, verses 3 to 6. Luke 17, verses 3 to 6. "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." How can anybody do that? You know, it's hard enough to forgive when somebody has really offended me. But if it comes 7 times in one day, Lord, increase our faith. That's impossible.
And especially after they ask, "Oh, I'm so sorry," all 7 times and then do it again.
Yeah, that's right. After they come back and do the same thing, it's like they're really not sorry. But, you know, maybe they really tried. So what did the Lord say? When they said, "Increase our faith so we are able to forgive 7 times in one day." "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this sycamine tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." There's somehow a draft here, but that's okay. Now, we even have a song about this, you know, about the faith that says to the sycamine tree. But I never heard it, not even when we sang it. It was more like, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then it can happen. But never in together with forgiveness. And this is what Jesus is talking about in this section, about forgiveness. And so we're looking a little bit into some of the points that I read in this devotional. First, he said that the sycamine tree is a very large tree and with a deep root structure. It's one of the deepest root structures of all trees in the Middle East. And it's very difficult to kill it. Very, very difficult. Even if you cut it to its base, they won't die because their roots deep hidden and they would resurface, the tree would resurface again. And isn't that something like the bitterness and unforgiveness? The roots go deep if we allow them. If we don't pull them out while they're small, they go deeper, and it's more difficult to pull them out. And so if we need to pull them out with the roots. And we'll go through that in this little text. But there are more points there that he brings out that really, I thought they're so good to describe, he uses the sycamore tree to, or he calls it sycamine tree, so I think it's just different words for that they use. Jesus uses that tree as an example for bitterness and forgiveness that he's talking about. The sycamine tree, the wood was a preferred wood for building. You know what they built out of it? Caskets.
Okay.
So, can you see why Jesus uses that example? They built caskets. They wanted to, it grew quickly and nearly in any environment, also in very dry conditions. Actually, it grew very well in dry conditions. And so does unforgiveness and bitterness. They grow quickly if we allow them, and if we don't have the spiritual life, then they grows really quickly. Yeah, they grew best where little rain fell and water was scarce. And so, just like the sycamine tree was used for caskets, so bitterness and unforgiveness are deadly. They are deadly. And what do they kill?
Yes.
They kill your joy, your peace, and they cancel out your spiritual life. The sycamine tree, this is number three, the sycamine tree produced a fig that was very bitter to eat. You know, the mulberry tree, but some translations uses mulberry tree here. But he says, and he went back to the original Greek, anyway, he says that the mulberry tree figs were delicious and expensive, and not everybody could afford that. But the sycamine tree had a fig too, but it was very bitter and tart. And so you couldn't eat a whole fig at one time. You had to just nibble on it a little bit at a time, and then you put it away, and then you took another little bite. And I think that is sometimes how it is with us. Somebody has hurt us, and we think about it a little, we take a little nibble from that sour fig, and we chew on it, and put it away, and then after a while again it comes up, and we chew a little more. Not good. Remembering what was done to us. But I don't know if there are any saints here who don't do that. We do that. And, you know, it's always, when we come to the retreat, and depending what the message is, you know, it's not just like words, you have to go through it. So, you know, the enemy comes and tries to bring situations where you just are hurt. The sycamine tree was pollinated only by wasps. Did you ever hear anybody say, I've been stung by that person? They're stung. And I won't let them come close again and sting me again. So I think those are quite... some pictures that Jesus kind of, they probably, the people at that time, they would have understood more about it. Since we're remote from the situation, we just have a nice figs that we enjoy in Arizona from the fig tree. You know, we wouldn't know about those that they were so bitter, and the common people could not afford the other ones, but they would just have this little bit. And that they would make caskets of them. So, what does Jesus say in our text when they say, increase our faith? How much faith do you need?
Tiny bit.
How much is that? Do you really have to work for to pump that up? You shouldn't. All you have to have is a grain, the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. No great faith. You can't say, "Oh, I can't build up that much faith." And then what does Jesus say after that? If you have faith as a mustard seed, what do you have to do?
Tell that tree to go.
You can say to this sycamore tree, be pulled up. So, this man who wrote the devotion, he said, you have to rise up and take authority. Mm-hmm. You must speak. And the word speak, the logos, in the Greek original, it uses the tense of a strong, stern, depicts a strong, stern, serious, deeply felt kind of speaking. Speak with authority and great conviction. You must speak to these attitudes and not just think about them. You can think all you want about removing those poisonous roots in your life, but your thoughts will not remove them. But when you get so tired of living under the stress and strain of bitterness, unforgiveness, and offense, that you lift your voice and command them, they begin to obey you. You ever experienced that? You know, you just feel sorry for yourself and you just think about it and think this is too difficult and this was just too hurtful and I can't cope with this or whatever. But if you really get so upset with this attitude of your own heart and start speaking to it. You know, we don't usually do that. We go to somebody and lament about it, you know. That's not the way of speaking, by the way. Accept personal responsibility for your inward condition and stop blaming everyone else for your bad attitudes. Yeah, that's right. Do you understand why the disciple said, increase our faith? How is that possible? That's impossible.
Read that sentence
again, please. Accept personal responsibility for your inward condition and stop blaming everyone else for your bad attitudes. It gets pretty practical, huh? If you don't speak to your emotions, they will speak to you, and they speak very loud. Slow down. Okay, I'll give you time to write it down.
Well, I'm still on accept personal responsibility.
Okay.
It's hard to write that sentence. Your hand doesn't
write that. It's hard to write. It's hard to write.
Somebody like me, those are big words and hard to spell.
Those are the things we like to avoid. You know, we like to hear all the things of, you know, he forgives everything and all of this. And it's true, but we have to bring it to him to forgive. And then he blots them out.
Could you read that second one again?
Which one was that?
The one after it. Yes.
Responsibility.
Stop blaming everyone else. Did you have that?
No.
For your bad attitudes.
That is what we're choosing. Yeah, what needs we get?
If we don't speak to our emotions, they speak to us.
Oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm. If you don't speak to your emotions, they will speak to you. If you don't take authority over your emotions, they will take authority over you. You have to treat... Are you done with that one? You have to treat bitterness, resentments, and unforgiveness like they are enemies that have come to corrupt your soul. You can combine these two. You must see them as bandits that have come to steal your joy and peace and your relationships.
Can you read the whole thing?
The whole thing. What is the whole thing? You have to treat bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness like they are enemies that have come to corrupt your soul. And the second part is, you must see them as bandits that have come to steal your joy, your peace, and your relationships. Don't tolerate them any longer. Declare to them that they will no longer be allowed to dominate you. I am going to get to the root of this beast. That they will no longer be allowed to dominate you.
Thank
you. Yes.
I've got an idea.
You have an idea?
It's not an idea, it's really.
Oh, Carrie's idea.
could we just make a copy of this and then send it to everybody? I mean, really, this is hard to write it all.
Yeah. I have written out some key sentences from a book. I don't know if it's copyrighted and to send out to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's.
Well, we're hanging on your every word. Yeah. This is a good lesson. Thank you.
Maybe I should stand up there and read those things, and you try to copy. These are wonderful.
It's very practical, and it's not always so nice to hear, but if we take them in, it will really make a difference.
Sister, do you have a title and author of this book here?
Yeah, it's Sparkling Gems from the Greek. Mm-hmm. And it's Rick Renner.
Oh, yeah. There's one and two.
I've only seen one. Somebody gave it to us. I don't. It's maybe one then. Because
what's his name?
Rick Renner. It's a book this thick. So this is like a series, you know, it's over several days or so it goes, and I just pulled out the key sentences there.
How do you spell his last name?
R-E-N-N-E-R. Now I can give you another little booklet that is not as thick, and you can get through real easy, and that's called The Secret of Loving When You Can't. Yeah. Yeah, now have one.
It's heavy. Yeah, I know.
Well, this is just some things on this theme, but it's practical too. And you know, when Jesus gave us that new commandment to love one another, he said, a new commandment I give to you. He didn't say, I'll give it a try and see if you can do it. Because he knew we wouldn't be able to. But why does he command us to love?
Because it's something we don't naturally do.
Yeah, but that's not the reason that he commands us. He wants to make us happy. And you're happy when you love. And when you carry all that other stuff in you, you're not happy. And that's the bottom line with everything, you know, with yes and like.
More
in
the scripture,
Alice,
Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, love covers over a multitude of sins.
Yes. And Jesus' love covers a multitude of our sins. Like I told you yesterday about that Hosea passage, all he wants us to do is turn around and not rely on all those, not even on your own efforts, you know. And then he would like that love to flow out. So if you turn to page 8 in your little booklet, there's so many good things in this booklet, but we'll just look at the one paragraph here where Mother Basilea tells us how she dealt with a difficult relationship. It's the last paragraph on page 8, at the bottom of page 8. Just how essential love is can especially be seen in difficult relationships. I remember a situation when all my prayers and efforts to create harmony were futile. Nothing changed. Then suddenly the Lord showed me the key. There is only one thing that can help. The power of love is so great that it can bring about a change of heart in someone who is against you. Just enduring the situation is not enough. Nothing will ever become different so long as you don't really love this person. You lack love. That's what the Lord showed her. And so she prayed for repentance and asked for transformation. And you can read all that yourself. And then we go to the middle of page 9. Now let us ask ourselves, is there someone we don't really love? Are we perhaps content with just tolerating this person? That's not love. Sometimes in self-pity we say to ourselves, so-and-so is so difficult and causes me a lot of trouble. But have we ever tried showing him genuine love? Or perhaps we pride ourselves on loving someone in spite of the way he treats us, not realizing we are only deceiving ourselves. Real love is on another plane. The divine love Jesus obtained for us on the cross should well up from within, overflowing in our words and actions. Well, I've got a long way to go till there, but he wants to do that. And I like the top paragraph on page 10. The prayer to be loving is born out of the struggles of daily life when our love is tested. When we can't get along with others, what should we do? Avoid them? Just go around the other way? Let us start showing them love. Mother Basilea used to say that the quickest way to love, to find love, to learn to love, is to love. To start doing even, you know, without feeling. Just showing. The Pastor James told us this one really nice depicting story. It was this wife who was very upset with her husband. He had hurt her so much, and she was going to punish him and really shock him and take out the divorce. And she just wanted to get back at him. And so the pastor was a very wise man, and he said, why don't you do this? For the next month, it was a pastor, right, or a counselor anyway. And he said, why don't you do this? And this will really hurt him. Now for the next month, you'll be really loving, you know, as if you really love him. And you fix all his favorite meals, and you are just as loving as you could be. And then after the month is over, you just shock him and say, you want a divorce. And that will really hurt him. And so the month went by, and he didn't hear back. She was supposed to come back after the month. And he didn't hear back from her. And another month went back, and he didn't hear from her. And so he called her up and said, well, what's going on? And didn't you want to take out the divorce or something? She said, what are you talking about? I do love him, you know. Because she had been showing love, and it had just nourished that love back. And so the quickest way is to act like that. Well, now we have to get to the part about what did Jesus say here? Say to the sick man three, what did he say? What are you to say? Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. So this means you have to really take hold of that plant, pull it up, and so it doesn't break, so you get the roots up. But pull hard to get all of the roots up. And then you're to plant it in the sea. Isn't that a strange thing to do?
Yes.
Why can't you just throw it on the garbage pile?
It can't survive in the sea.
It can't survive in the sea. It's salt water, and you throw it on the compost pile, and it might start growing again, and here you have the same trouble. You have to put it in the sea. So even when you'd like to go back and dwell on those old hurts again, don't allow that bitter tree to come up. It has to go out into the salt water where it cannot survive. And then the last section on this here is that Jesus says, say to this sycamine tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and what will happen? When you have faith like a mustard seed and you speak in authority,
it will obey you.
Your out of control emotions are just like an out of control child. It will rant, rave, and carry on all day long until you finally stand up and tell him to straighten up and act right. In the same way, the flesh and your hurt ego will pout, throw a temper tantrum, and carry on to a ridiculous extent until you finally decide that enough is enough. Take charge of the situation in your soul. It is your soul, and you are responsible for what happens there. Even if others have wronged you, and you are the only one who has the power... No, even if others have wronged you, you are the only one who has the power to allow such a foul tree of bitterness to grow inside of you. See, I have to see how we can time this here. Yeah? Because we want to, and today we want to really think of something in our heart that is, maybe it's not as strong as bitterness, but maybe there's something starting to, you know, you're bothered about somebody or it's irritating you, or you like to go the other way and not have too much to do with that person, because it just makes life difficult. And we want to rip that out with the roots. And I am very much a person of, visual things or doing something. And so Betty came to my rescue. I asked her, do you want to, Sam did these beautiful decorations here, and we involved a lot of people to help us to put this together. And with this, Betty helped me. And she has produced, these are actually very nice, but sometimes weeds look very nice, and these kind of look nice, and so you think, oh, that's not so bad, they're kind of nice, we'll just let it grow. But here we have a basket with weeds that look on the outside very nice, but there's still some bitterness down there in the root. And it needs to come out. And so you get to, I have to think of how we do this. You get to come forward, and you will pull out one little plant. You can't grab a whole thing, There's one little thing, because otherwise there's not enough for everyone.
Yeah, you can just, if you move your fingers down to where it meets the moss, you can feel, we've taped it together there.
and you can feel that tape and just pull out where you don't need to pull out four or five, just one.
Just one.
And we try to make them stick down real good, but that's not so easy. But just pretend it's hard.
And since you don't want to keep that bitter root, we'd like you to return it. Just so we can use it for another demonstration or somewhere else. But you don't want to keep that bitter root anyway, because you're supposed to throw it into the sea. We don't have a sea here, but... we can throw them in the sea. That's good. That's good. Then we really do what Jesus says. So, but before we do that...
Where does the sea look?
Yeah, right here.
Oh,
okay.
But that's pure one.
That's pure water, but it's okay. That's the closest we have. You have to have a little imagination, you know. Now, this morning, it was a waterfall with fresh water. This morning, it's the sea. And, you know, actually, fresh water flows into the sea, too. But I want to...
Sister, it's the sea of forgetfulness.
It's the sea. That's what we need to bury. And not go fishing. Sometimes we do that too, you know. We throw them out.
God puts up a no fishing sign.
What is that?
God puts up a no fishing sign.
Yeah. I think that was Corrie ten Boom, right? No fishing. That's when he buries our sins in the sea. And now that's the beautiful thing, you know. We have all these ugly things in us. But the forgiveness of God is just endless. And I'll read first something about forgiveness that really wants you. It's not just the bitter root. It's so beautiful to be able to let go and not hold on to those things. Here... Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And how does he forgive? Does he come back and remind you of all those things? He buries them in the sea. He forgives freely, forgets wholly, and buries completely. And it's hard for us to do, but we can... stand up, and when it comes up again and all those memories come up, we just say, you're in the sea, you're gone. You have no right to come back here.
Say what Jesus does again.
He forgives freely, forgets wholly, and buries completely. You know, I heard once, it was a counselor, and he was doing a series on something, and I only heard him once. But he was talking about this, how we have to unlock the heart. And when there is a relationship problem, you have to ask yourself, is it my heart that's locked, or is it the other person's heart that's locked? And by choosing, he says, you have to say... to yourself, speak aloud to yourself, I choose to forgive and put in the name and put in what they did to you. And then say, I choose to forgive. And then somebody said, well, it's not fair, you know, I wasn't the one that did it, it was the other person. And then he said, put the question out and said, oh, was it fair that Jesus had to die? It's in our... it's our decision if we forgive. And if we decide to forgive, even if it's a hard thing, the Lord is on our side and he will help us through it. Here is again from this book, Walking Among the Unseen. Don't live unseen. Something like that.
Walking Among the Unseen.
Just one more thing. Never refuse to forgive. Forgiveness is the mightiest power of all, and you must joyfully practice it continually. It means willingness to bear everything that other people do to you and to lose them in your thoughts from the wrong that they have done to you or spoken about you. When you lose the wrongdoer in your own thoughts, You will find first that you have loosed yourself from unhappy and harmful emotions. Remember, your reactions to your enemy can hurt you more than your enemy can. I'll read that again. Remember, your reactions to your enemy can hurt you more than your enemy can.
Just one more time, please.
Remember, your reactions to your enemy can hurt you more than your enemy can. And here are a couple of one-liners. We are more like God when we forgive. When I say, this is Jesus speaking, when I say that you must forgive one another, it is not a duty that I impose on you. It is a joy that I offer you. It is a share in my way of acting. The relief and freedom of forgiving can take a great weight off your soul.
Sister Dumbo, are you reading that out of this book?
No, that's not from that book. These are quotes I have written from different places where I found a sentence to a theme, and I sometimes write it down. This is Corrie ten Boom. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and then discover...
The prisoner was you.
To forgive is to set the prisoner free and then discover the prisoner was you. Now, this is about forgiving each other. And just so that you take it in deep into your heart, I love some of these quotes, and I keep quoting them, but it's good to hear, even if you hear them once a year. My heart, this is Jesus speaking, my heart takes comfort in forgiving. I have no greater desire, no greater joy than when I can pardon a soul. You know, that's what he gave his life for. That's what he came for. And so when somebody accepts that, wouldn't that give him the greatest joy? And I like this. Because this soul was complaining to Jesus and saying, "Oh, Jesus, I'm always the same. I promise, and then there I go again." And Jesus answered and said, "I also am always the same and never change." Always the same. He never changes. Always welcomes us when we turn home, back home, with open arms. It is my joy to pardon. If pride prevents you from being sorry for your sins, for your own sake, be sorry for them out of love for me, so that I may have the joy of forgiving. And it doesn't feel so bad, does it?
Now read it again, the whole thing, Jesus.
Which part?
The soul complains, and then Jesus...
Oh. I am always the same. I promise. And what happens? There you go. Can't keep it. And Jesus replied, "I also am always the same and never change."
Thank you.
It is my joy to pardon. If pride prevents you from being sorry for your sins for your own sake, be sorry for them out of love for me, so that I may have the joy of forgiving. And I think we can stop there. I think you have taken in enough of, you know, not being scared about those bitter roots. We just want to get rid of them. Let the Lord, we throw what we can, you know. We pull and we throw, and then he has to take care of the rest. We just have to show that we want to And then, like Sister Daniela was telling the other night with some friends, you know, said, but I'm not sorry. You know, Lord, you have to help me be sorry. And that he did too, right, Sister Daniela?
He did.
He did, you know. So all we have to do is say, I want to get rid of it. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it, but you will help me, and I will. I'm willing to come to the basket, and but just don't come before you think of some situations. So, and it's real, you know, a real thing. It doesn't have to be a big mountain, you know, of hurts or bitterness that you had. It might be just something that's trying to bore itself in a little bit. And let's before we do that, let's pray together from that little booklet I gave you. It's a song, but we won't sing it. We'll just pray. It's on page 22. And by the way, there are several songs here in the back. And you don't have to sing them. They're good prayers. And there is also a blue little booklet on that back table. It says Mirror of Conscience. And if you'd like to take that, it's just, you know, help to find where you can turn around and run back to the Father, into the Father's arms. Are you looking for something, Sister Danielle?
Because I thought it would just fit now, you know, my little bag with the black strips.
Oh, I see. Oh, you can. We can do that on the Battle of Faith.
The Battle of Faith.
Okay, well, you can do that. We'll pray, and maybe by then you have found it. Page 22. Lord, give me love for others, which I lack, selfless and giving, never holding back. Make me warm-hearted, compassionate to all. Sharing your love with others is my call. Lord, fill me with your love. Give me the grace of loving ceaselessly, loving away each hurt and enmity. Give me your love that stays friendly, kind, and calm, quietly enduring all evil, hurt, and harm. Lord, fill me with your love. Give me your love, a sympathetic heart, feeling the pain of those who have been hurt. Oh, make me gentle and caring like you, Lord, sharing the riches of your love outpoured. Lord, fill me with your love. Lord, hear my prayer, my earnest cry, my plea, that you may soon your image see in me. Give me your love, Lord. Love comes from you alone, who, having saved me, would make me all your own. Lord, fill me with your love. Now, Christy, do you think we should try to sing and add about the song on the I want to do everything out of love for you? I think I had to request these copies back because they're not good copies, but I thought it was it would fit to this session. Yeah. You can come and sing it. And then we'll sing it a couple of times, and then you can come. Wait a minute, we have to take this basket up so they don't have to take a chair. You know, that was another thing I did once. I pulled out from my Bible a lot of different things what we are supposed to do for each other. Forgive each other, serve each other, lift each other up, bear each other's burden. All of those, love each other many times. And then when you pull up your bitter root, then you can take a word of these, and then you have some guideline to set into that situation. So let's see how we do this. Hmm. Christy will have to have one little pause so she can calm herself. Love is kind when things go wrong. Love hardly seems to mind. You know, that is, I do mind. Not easily angered, but quick to forgive. That's the way I want to live.
Amen. Amen.